General Secretary's Report. I hope you are enjoying the magazine. The summer months have been dominated by devastating news of global conflicts, particularly in Gaza and the Ukraine. And on the home front, the government has launched review upon review as it grapples with reforming public services. But how long can we wait for much-needed changes to essential services such as health and social care? The economy has been sluggish in response to the global situation, and there are few signs of the growth the Chancellor needs to invest in public services, transport and green energy, especially given the need to raise defense spending. We were pleased, if surprised, in June by the reinstatement of the winter fuel payments shortly before the government spending review. We had campaigned vociferously alongside other pensioner groups for its universal reinstatement. Around 9 million pensioners with earnings below the new £35,000 threshold will now receive £200 per household this autumn, or £300 if someone is over 80, to help with the cost of heating their home. This U-turn will cost £1.25 billion in England and Wales alone, putting paid to the Chancellor's attempts to make savings in this area. The CSPA Northern Ireland branch has written assurances from the Department for Communities that pensioners will have their winter fuel payments reinstated on the same basis, and those of pension age in Scotland will receive support through pension age winter heating payments. The well-organised backlash against the changes to winter fuel payments in July 2024 prompted some to suggest we are living in a gerontocracy, but I wouldn't go that far. I don't think there is room for complacency. We must continue to stay alive to any government changes that adversely impact older people. Key issues. The rising tax burden on pension income is still an issue for CSPA members, and we continue to urge the government to review the frozen tax threshold and mitigate the impact of fiscal drag on older people. In our meetings with MPs on all sides, there is broad support for pensioners affected by tax, and also for the triple lock, which seeks to keep the state pension set at a realistic level compared with average wages and inflation. But few can deny the stark reality of our national finances or the looming spectre of steeply rising costs associated with an aging population. In July, I attended the Civil Service Retirement Fellowship's 60th anniversary event in the House of Lords, and we wish our colleagues at CSRF all the very best for many more years of good work fostering friendships across generations of civil servants. Our work as one of more than 60 organizations affiliated to the Care and Support Alliance, CSA, continues to help us campaign nationally for improvements in our social care systems and to the support offered to carers. We attended the CSA's Show Us You Care parliamentary event in July, giving those providing and receiving social care a powerful opportunity to speak to MPs about the realities of their day-to-day lives and highlight their concerns around social care provision. Along with our colleagues at Age UK and others, we welcomed Health Secretary Wes Streeting's publication of the government's 10-year health plan for England on the 3rd of July, which he has called an ambitious blueprint to get the NHS back on its feet and make it fit for the future. The shift of focus from hospital to home makes a lot of sense, but it won't be without its problems and it will inevitably involve huge levels of expenditure, require a great many more staff to fulfill and take a very long time to deliver. The paper, entitled Fit for the Future: 10-Year Health Plan for England, says the choice for the NHS is stark, as it must reform or die and transformational changes will be required if it is to be sustained for future generations. Key to the success of the plan is the reinvention of the health service through advances in science, technology and artificial intelligence. The plan is to reinvent the NHS through three shifts: hospital to community, analog to digital, sickness to prevention. We continue to point out that the overlap between the NHS and adult social care provision cannot be ignored, and are taking every opportunity, working with the CSA, to engage with Baroness Louise Casey's independent inquiry into the provision of social care in England. Pensioner Poverty Survey. Independent Age's survey of public opinion in relation to pensioner poverty and associated issues has revealed some surprising results. The polling of 2,000 adults of different ages and backgrounds around the country was carried out in April, before the winter fuel payment U-turn and local elections in May. Asked how concerned they were about older people in poverty, one in three thought it was a significant issue. A majority said the issue could sway their vote in a general election, and it should be a high priority for government, even if this meant tax rises to pay for it. The changes to winter fuel payments in 2024 were rated as the least popular policy the Labour government had introduced, with changes to employer national insurance contributions almost as unpopular. Those polled also said they would not favour any moves to means test attendance allowance or scrap the state pension triple lock. The survey suggests these views are strongly held by adults of all ages, countering ongoing media representations of intergenerational divides on such things. AGM 2025 priorities. Our annual general meeting on 8-9 October is fast approaching, and groups and branches have drawn our attention to a range of issues of concern to members. We received 46 proposed motions and constitutional amendments for debate this year, on topics varying from civil service and state pension-related matters, to health, social care, and pensioner taxation in its various forms. We appreciate the work of members who actively participate in the CSPA, nationally and locally, and look forward to our time in Kenilworth. Constitutional amendments. There will be several constitutional amendments to consider this year, to bring the wording of our rules and constitution in line with current structures and practices. The CSPA has been a not-for-profit organization since its establishment in 1953, when the Civil Service Pensioners Alliance Scotland branch joined the newly formed CSPA London branch. It was expanded by the Malta branch in 1974 and merger with the NICSPA, which became the CSPA Northern Ireland branch, in 1980. The CSPA's current legal status is that of an unincorporated association, essentially the coming together of two or more people with a common purpose and no intention to make a profit. An association is easy to set up, is not required to publish accounts, and can easily vary its rules and constitution to suit its own requirements. However, there are downsides to this type of organization. It doesn't exist as a legal entity, making contracts for the provision of goods and services more difficult to set up. Members have full autonomy to determine the organization's future, but they also carry all of the risks. If the organization were to become insolvent, the costs would have to be met by the members themselves. Thankfully, due to careful financial stewardship, the prospect of bankruptcy is far from imminent, but in an increasingly litigious society, the risk of claims being brought against organizations is rising. For these reasons, many organizations have taken a decision to incorporate over the past 20 years, including the NFOP, NAPO, and more recently the NPC. The Executive Council has submitted a motion to the AGM to request members' agreement to our investigation of the costs and benefits of incorporating, and to consult members on establishing the CSPA as a company limited by guarantee or charitable incorporated organization. Pensions and related matters. Several AGM motions address the need to protect the value of both the civil service and state pension. Others address personal tax and benefits income thresholds. Health and social care. A number of motions offer opportunities to contemplate how the CSPA might best use its influence to affect positive change on the prevention of falls, carers' allowance overpayments, the digital switchover and personal alarms, as well as delayed structural reforms needed to improve the national delivery of social care. Digital inclusion/exclusion. Many older people continue to be negatively affected by not being online. This year's AGM will again direct the Executive Council to maintain pressure on those providing banking and other services to be more easily accessible for those without internet access, by offering face-to-face and telephone services, and by having their contact details prominently displayed on all their communications. General. Motions will also remind us to focus on the need to improve public transport, highlight the high cost of energy bills, and call for the restoration of free TV licenses. We warmly invite all CSPA members to become more actively involved in their local group or branch if they are not yet doing so. They can be assured of a friendly welcome, sociable gatherings, and a chance to make a difference to our national campaigns on behalf of CSPA members and others in later life.